All right, so circling back, right, after we've kind of covered everything from a spectrum of fulfillment to excellence to kind of bringing it really contextual and present, we're going to get into music. We're going to spend some time in music. I'm going to grill you on your, no, just kidding. But we'll talk music in a second. But you know what I like to do in order to just kind of keep it balanced, keep it even keel, is to turn the tables, you know,
Yeah.
have you ask me those questions. So what questions do you have? I'll give you a second if you have anything. Don't have
Nah,
anything on top
nah,
of
nah.
mind, but
I mean, first thing
go
that came
for
to mind for me, and I was wondering this throughout our conversation.
it.
It seems like you've had very similar experiences. My question to you would be, how you take care of yourself while passing through all these spaces that can grate on you and such a gradual and often subtle way. You know, one year you wake up, you're like, I'm feeling great. Maybe 6 months down the road, you wake up, you're like, wow, I feel utterly crippled and incapable of doing anything at all. And you don't know how you got there. How do you, one, try to prevent that from happening and take care of yourself and the people around you? Yeah, as you navigate the chaos that is moving between worlds.
I think it's a really great question, but also a tripartite response. So, being that in order for me to take care of myself, I have to take care of the people around me, and not financially, not like that, but I have to like be very intentional about who I keep around me, right? Because in being in China for a couple of years, you know, it taught me a lot about isolation, right? And being isolated and being lonely versus being alone, right? Like it's okay to be alone. And I think that should be like a part of speech, just like silence should be, right? But also kind of a part of our stories. But in that, you know, I going into the second part, I just know who I am. You know, so I know what I'm willing to tolerate, like what I can take and what I can't take. You know, like I am being creative and like having done all the things and been to all the places, you know, I know that I'm a highly, highly sensitive person. And so, not that I'll cry at the drop of a hat, but I feel things from people in that way, and that I'm able to kind of be around people that may not be on the same level energetically, spiritually, intention-wise, and that. But I, too, you know, and kind of into the third part, it's just a matter of the beauty of resilience, right? I'm one of the most resilient people I know. My story and what it's going to be, I don't know. Right. So I think in all of it, like knowing what I don't know and trying not being okay with that, you know, not trying to force a response or kind of force perfection. I could put together words that sound great, but it's like, what are you talking about? And so I think just kind of in aggregate, in amalgam, right, looking at the intention behind my life, which is just to tell a story that's so specific to me that only I can tell it, you know, but to be really crucial, really thoughtful in that. But you know, to the point of self-care, which is kind of interwoven into all of that, right? And kind of trusting where I'm going, right? You know, so yeah, there's like the gym, you know, the face masks, whatever it is, you know, which is like, you know, self-care, nothing to be, you know, diminished or overlooked. But, you know, I think for me, like I'm at a place that's just so far beyond anything that I ever thought would be, anything that my parents, right, or any grandparent or anyone before me, you know, and even in that space, I don't get it. Like, I don't get the impact of like the work that I've done, you know, what impact that means or what that even looks like or means to people that matter the most. So it's just a matter of getting context and like staying grounded and positioned and rooted enough to go forward, right? To go forward honestly, to go forward, you know, in a way that, like I said, is so specific, right? That's my job. And I think that's the one job that, whatever reason, or maybe they just haven't gotten to it yet, but it's just to be more of myself and to tell a truer version of myself, a truer story every day, right? And not a narrative, but like to be honest with that story and what it looks like for where I am and, you know, what I need to do, you know.
What does that process of self-reflection look like? Because in order to tell that story accurately and to do it justice, it requires some degree of self-interrogation. How do you go about doing that in a healthy way?
Healthy, there's the operative word. Because I probably am one of the most introspective people that I know, in a way that has gotten me in trouble, like not seriously, but like where I've just kind of like gone and I'm like milling thoughts, like to kind of the minutia that's not even there, you know, like so much to the point where it's like I'm making up narratives at a point, like I'm making problems, I'm creating issues. So it's like balancing that introspection.
Yeah.
Right. Because like I say, being a mom, in addition to the resilience, you know, it's a matter of kind of knowing that there's a calling in my life and that it's not necessarily to be kind of at the utmost, at the peak, right, at the apex of excellence, at the apex of visibility, but it's just to tell a story, you know, in a way that's not quite literally podcasting, telling a story, like that's a part of it, right, as it all, you know, winds up and kind of comes together, but, you know, to find that honesty and introspection, right, so to ask myself the challenging questions, to, again, back to that group of people that I'm with, to be in circles of people that are going to call me on my shit,
right,
you know, because... You know, right? Someone looks at me on paper, someone looks at you on paper, and people start to get a little shaky, you know, and then they like pick up a visual, like, God, even more shaky, you know. So to the point where I found it really easy to establish it to be in groups of yes men and yes women, or people that won't call me, you know, people that are like, oh, you know, it's great, you know, you're just I'm so proud of you. It's like, okay, you know, like keep going as though I wouldn't have kept going anyway, you know, like, do you think I was going to stop kind of deal? But, you know, it's me. Bouncing that introspection and two, kind of being hyper self-aware of that, because it's like, as you two know, it's like for, I don't know, me, like a contextual example, like speaking Mandarin, right? Or living in China, you know, it's like on the outside, I've learned and seen more that like people really look at that as like, wow, you speak Mandarin, I get it, you know, but it's like, I always say asking Barack Obama, what's it like being the president as you're in office? It's just the norm. You know, it's just what you do. It's just who you are for that time, right? And, you know, what that legacy is going to look like, et cetera. But, you know, it is just a matter of kind of understanding how I appear, how I give off certain energies, kind of how I come into rooms, right? Knowing that every room I get into, I belong there, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in a way that that's a little more conscious of folks around me. It doesn't mean to compartmentalize. Yeah. I will never dim my light. I don't believe in that. People dimming their light to make other people feel brighter or feel okay about themselves. Like, you should go into every space with your excellence. Like, know how to code switcher, but, you know, if you call it that, fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of being self-aware in that way where people can see me beyond the externality of excellence, beyond the externality of aesthetics, what have you.
Mm-hmm. How do you... I have to think about how to phrase it. The first question would be, is there ever a point at which that fluctuation between one space to the next, one identity to the next, one part of yourself to the next? I think a lot of resilience, as you speak of it, hinges on the ability to center truth, even when the mind, the body, the spirit is surrounded by its antithesis. Yeah. What does it mean to tell the truth in your eyes?
You know, and it sounds like, what the fuck are you talking about? Specificity, but for me, I'll get there. For me, in being specific, right, and specific to those droplets, right, to kind of like those little hints of, well, I could do that, you know, maybe that will work, or I don't know, I've always liked this thing, but why haven't I done it? Right, kind of paying attention to that heart space, you know, paying attention to less the head space, knowing when to kind of turn one on and one off or up and down respectively. That's what it is to tell the truth. You know, for me, I mean, quite literally, I am the true and living in so many ways because like my name is Swahili for a man of truth and justice, you know, and it's so scary, as we talked about earlier, the older I get, the more of that I'm becoming. Like, the more take no prisoners I am. And I am very much so my father's child, very much so my mom's child, you know. But it's just a matter of seeing that through, right, kind of that take no prisoners mindset. But, you know, the truth, I think it's just being specific and being honest, like honest when it hurts.
Yeah.
Being honest when no one's going to, like, agree with you, right? But you know there's something, there's, like, some modicum, there's some tinge of, I gotta do it. Won't go away, right? Whenever you feel something come back to you multiple times in a short amount of time, and I don't know, a great span of time, it's just a matter of staying rooted and staying put, you know, in that truth, right? In that idea, in that inspiration, in that instinct, in that, you know, nudge of insight, whatever it is, just like kind of seeing it through to the end. So In short, what it is, you know, truth to me, it's specificity, telling a story that has never been told, and only we can do that for ourselves, right? The less we try, or the more we try to be appeasable or to have people understand us, you're compartmentalizing the hell out of who you are, out of what you want to do, who you want to be, the thing that keeps coming. And when you compress stuff, it eventually explodes or it implodes, right? And like in a human case, a lot of people are just walking implosions because they never pay attention, or I won't say never, but more times than not, they just kind of let that internal voice just die, right? They let that kid die. They become everything that they thought they should be, only to get there to realize, ha, this isn't all it was cracked up to be. Or maybe this was just a thought, or maybe I should have done that thing that the freaking instinct was telling me to do from moment zero.
Is truth ever at odds with hope? Would probably be a better way to phrase the question.
Yeah. I think that can't be answered without taking account of context, right? Like environmental context. I'm hearing and feeling a lot from what you're saying here. But is truth ever at the odds of hope? Absolutely. Absolutely. All the time. I think I think the more that they contrast is kind of the more that they similarly or oddly enough fulfill one another, right? The more disparate or dismal like a set of circumstances seems, the more truth you have to go into, you know, or kind of how untrue a circumstance seems, like the more hope you have to have in order to like get to that end. So
I
I think
agree.
they're inversely related in that way, but can they exist at odds with each other? Yes, absolutely they do. But you know, back to your original question of truth itself, you know, can truth ever be counterproductive? I think if truth is infected, or you know, if truth kind of comes about through a way that's disingenuous, right? If it's like a truth that you've been taught versus a truth that you feel. I think truth, a lot of truth is like feeling, right? You know, if it feels honest, if it feels right, if it's what your instinct feels or is telling you is right, okay. You know, but if it's a truth that's kind of an aspiring truth of like, okay, this is what's gonna get me out based on what I've seen, you know, so you gotta kind of have to take it as it comes and kind of scale up, scale it down, you know. Is this what I really want, or is this what I think I want to be? You know, I think truth can't be told or evidenced without having a clear idea of who you are. You know, it can't be told or evidenced without, you know, having a real sense of who you're not, you know. So I think, you know, no matter how contrasting or like idealistically we like for truth and hope to be one thing, I think the more it's at tension or at odds with each other, like, is the more that it reinforces.
I agree. I agree. I think there's a lot to be gleaned from that because it allows us to reconcile the disconnect between things going wrong and the possibility of them going right. Right? To your point, it's only through the difficulty of things not going right, the tragedy of things not going right, that we're able sometimes to envision what right actually would look like in its most ideal form. And what could be more hopeful than that, than the ideal?
What's the kind of the guiding force, or the thing that has allowed me to find my light? It's just an ability to trust myself enough to be myself, you know. It's a scary thing to be an individual, and like not in a way that's, even if everybody's trying to be an individual, and a way you're not, you're all kind of doing kind of the same individualistic seeming thing.
Sure.
But it's just to be specific, you know, trusting ourselves enough to be specific and to tell the truth, you know, whatever that truth looks like. And I mean, to keep in mind that I don't think there's a capital T truth, that it's one thing, or that it's like this, I don't know, Webster's version or Webster's dictionary of what truth is. I think that's not real, you know. And I think the second we realize that it's fluctuating, that we don't get stuck in like, well, this is who I've always said I wanted to be, that changes, you know. Like that can, it should change. That's how you're going to go into the next phase, right? I think we have the hardest time transitioning, and you know, that's why this podcast is very much so about that, right? Transitions, because that's the hardest time, you know, whether it's a job, whether it's a loss of a family member, an addition of a new family member, that there's kind of what's called, or what I've learned or come to learn as transitional grief, you know. because you're losing and separating from so much of what it is that you were once were, or that was so easy for you, that was so familiar, that was so unforeign to you, you know, and to kind of have to make a hard break from that. That's tough. It's hard, you know, so to kind of sit through that, but realize that it's only that everything is passing, you know, this too shall pass, if you want to get biblical about it, but that everything is fleeting and it's only momentary. Who I am today won't be who I am in 5 years. Some, yes, but to have ideas of this is who I am, or to kind of put yourself on a pedestal ever, you know, removes you from any of that ability to change. It removes you from any ability to be more of who you are because you're so stuck on being one thing, you know, that you've effectively eliminated yourself from being that full circle, right? From being that holistic part, from exploring any new end of yourself because you want to be that one thing. That one thing that's gotten you all the praise, that gets you all the applause, that, you know, gets you up in the morning. Yeah, I'm the man, kind of. No, you're not. Because there's always someone that's doing it twice as better than you. You just don't know them. They may not be as visible, or maybe they are hyper visible, and you know, you guys are in the same space. So kind of an ability to move beyond that externality. Right, the external of it all is how we can get about truth, right? How we can kind of work through kind of that contrasting sense of hope and truth. And just, you know, trust ourselves enough to be ourselves, to take that step, take that leap.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Excellent.
Hard.
In part four, we take a deep dive into music, talk what's next for JT, and conclude the series. Stay tuned.